Good to see you tonight. Thankful that you're here as we have opportunity to worship together. And we will spend a little bit of time in Matthew 25 to start with. And so I invite you to turn there and be a part of our study together as we talk about preparation. We titled the lesson, Prepare Yourself. And clearly this familiar parable of the 10 virgins, that's a central part. Really, the key message is to be ready. And he says to watch, verse 13, as Jesus sums it up. The parable reminds us that we all face various situations in life that, unfortunately, probably at one point or another, we have not been as prepared as we knew we should have been. Now, I can remember that about tests in school or different things like that. And, you know, sometimes it just was a matter of inconvenience that resulted from it. But sometimes if we are unprepared, maybe for a job interview or something like that, it can even bring painful results if we're not prepared. And so, of course, the worst pain of all is to be spiritually unprepared. And this is the message of the parable, is to be unprepared when the Lord returns, and to miss out on the blessings of the eternal kingdom. And clearly these five virgins described as foolish, they wanted to participate in the wedding feast. They brought their lamps with oil, but they were unprepared when the bridegroom didn't come when they thought he would. And consequently, as we've read, they were unprepared. The parable talks about and illustrates personal responsibility concerning our own preparation for the return of the Lord. That somebody else can't prepare on our behalf, nor should we expect that others making preparation for themselves are duty bound to prepare for us, when in fact they need to prepare for themselves. So there's individual responsibility that has to be taken for this preparation that we're discussing here and that the parable indicates. And so let's just make some very basic points. There's a basic lesson, first principle lesson really, but it's something that hopefully we can take for ourselves, remind ourselves of some of these important points, and help teach others, help encourage others to be ready ourselves and to help each other be preparing ourselves spiritually, and the applications of that as we go through our particular lesson, so that we can apply these truths to our own lives. And of course, note that we learn right off the bat that when we're unprepared for the Lord's return, the Bible says we're foolish. I mean, he calls them foolish. Five of them were foolish. Now, you know, that you tell somebody today, would you just being foolish, then they get all up in arms. You know, how dare you say I'm foolish? What, was Jesus being that way about thee or this parable? No, it was the reality of the situation that they had not properly prepared, and so they were foolish. By definition, then, if I'm not preparing myself for the Lord's return, I am being foolish. And Jesus is trying to teach us to be wise, to not be foolish. It's a choice, this matter of wisdom and foolishness. And you know, we can get our back all ruffled up, and we can get angry at the person who's trying to help us learn to be wise and telling us, you know, you've been foolish in this. And we can get angry at them and make them the issue, but really the issue's me. If I'm being foolish, I'm not preparing myself in a wise way for whatever that particular thing is that we're discussing at the moment. In Ephesians 5, as an illustration, an application of the point, the apostle said, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or "you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." So a lot of this is about time management. How are we going to use the time that we have right now? And really, right now is the only time that we actually have
Now, we can project future, but that's by the good grace of God that we have another breath
a day from now. We'll get to that more as well in a moment. But you see, so he says, walk carefully. Make decisions that use the opportunity that you presently have. Because there's calamities every day. The days are evil. There's trial and trouble and calamities in the day. Every day. Now again, we can blame whatever we're facing in our life on all the circumstances of the moment. But again, he's telling us take responsibility for how we walk. Foolishly or wisely? You see, the five wise virgins in the parable, they took oil with their lamps. They prepared for potential need for additional oil. These foolish ones did not. They were unprepared. They didn't walk wisely. They didn't redeem their time wisely. Now that could have been, maybe they were just lazy. And they just didn't want to do what they need to do to fill their own vessel with some extra oil. Or maybe they just forgot. Maybe they were just negligent. You know, they were busy with this or that and whatever. You know, they knew they wanted to go to the wedding feast. They wanted to participate in this great occasion, but they just got busy with us. Maybe they just neglected to do it. Or maybe they got distracted. Maybe there was something else that was really important they had to do and they just forgot about it. Oh, that's getting too close to home now. That forgetter, you know. Or maybe really, truth be told, it just wasn't that important to them. I mean, they said it was important. I mean, they stayed up, well, until they fell asleep. So maybe it just wasn't that important and they didn't prepare. Or maybe they just thought they had enough. You know, I've done enough. I've filled my lamp. That'll just be enough. Whatever the particular reason, the bottom line was they didn't have enough oil. Because you see, the bridegroom didn't come at the very moment that they expected him to come. And they were unprepared. Jesus uses the word foolish. When we're not preparing ourselves for the Lord's return, then really we become wasteful. Instead of redeeming the time, buying up the opportunity, we begin to waste the time that we have. We're not ready for the opportunity. They were not ready for their opportunity when the message came out, the bridegroom's coming. Go out to meet him. Well, they trim their lamps. You know, they trim their wicks. They make sure their lamp's burning. And lo and behold, they don't have any oil. Well, they had wasted their opportunity by then. There wasn't going to be enough time. I mean, they went out to buy their own, but they missed the blessing of the wedding feast because they have wasted the opportunity that they had before them. You say, well, how can you blame them? I mean, the bridegroom, he delayed coming. It's his fault. No, no, no. You see, personal responsibility. We are very adept at blaming other people, aren't we? I mean, we just got to acknowledge that or we're not going to get anywhere in preparing ourselves. And it's a sad state of affairs when the best we can do is blame others for our lack of preparation. Jesus is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. If you're spiritually unprepared, don't blame others. Take the responsibility that you need to take to be accountable to prepare yourself for when He comes. Or we become wasteful. Thirdly, if we're not prepared for the Lord's return, we really end up being self-centered and self-indulgent. And you say, well, I draw from Luke 12 on this point of the man who, you know, he spoke up one day to Jesus and he said, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Well, that seems fair and right, except Jesus knew the heart behind that statement. Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Actually, first of all, you know, the implication of what he says in verse 14 is you ought to be able to take care of this yourselves. Shouldn't we be able to? We ought to take care of those kind of decisions between ourselves. Your brothers, address it yourself. Why do you need me to be a part of that? You deal with that. You be equitable. You be fair and just. But then he takes that to warn about covetousness. For one's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. And then he spoke a parable about the man, the ground of the certain man who yielded plentifully. And he said, well, what am I going to do? I have no room to store my crops. Well, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater, and I'll store up my crops and goods. And then I'll say, soul, you have many goods for many years laid up. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. And God said, what? God said, fool. That'd be a good study sometime, just see how often God called somebody a fool. This night your soul is required of you. See, he's unprepared for his death in facing the Lord. So those things that he's provided, whose will they be? And so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We just bring that back to the parable of the virgins. Is they, for whatever reason, with their lack of preparation, they failed to look out beyond themselves. When we focus only on ourselves, then we are unprepared to meet God. And really, we're unprepared to serve others because we're consumed with ourselves. Jesus will go on in this same context in chapter 25 of Matthew to describe people who, he said, you're going to go to eternal punishment because I was hungry and you didn't give me food. Thirsty and you didn't give me drink, and so forth. And they said, well, when did we see you that way, Lord? He said, well, when you didn't do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it to me. Why didn't they do it? Well, they had no thought about others. They weren't interested in the serving of others but themselves. Well, these virgins, when they realized we don't have enough oil, what did they want? They wanted the preparations of others to serve them when they hadn't done their due diligence to prepare themselves. We are to be duly diligent in seeking God's will first instead of centering upon ourselves. Or we're going to end up being fools, foolish in our decisions. Fourthly, of course, when we're not prepared for the Lord's return, we are weak in our faith. In Matthew 24, back up a little bit from this, the same time Jesus, this is all one discourse. And in verse 44, he had said, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He's talking about being prepared for judgment. He'd been talking about the judgment against Jerusalem. He talks about principles of judgment as he moves toward the final day of judgment. So he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Okay, if we know who the wise and faithful are, we're going to know who the unfaithful and foolish are. Who's the faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his house to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he'll make him his ruler over all he had, all of his goods. So the faithful, wise servant's doing his master's bidding, doing his master's will. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. Okay? Chapter 25, the bridegroom delayed in his coming. Now this servant, being evil, he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day he's not looking for and in an hour he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a weak and corrupt faith, an evil faith, in fact, not a saving faith, if we don't prepare for the Lord's return. This servant indulged himself in sin and neglect and not doing the master's will. And he was only fit for destruction when his master came. If we don't prepare spiritually for Jesus' return, that great day of judgment, we're foolish. We're being wasteful with the time and opportunities we have. We've centered our life on ourselves rather than God, and in a weak faith, we destroy our own souls. We bear that responsibility.
Just as those five foolish virgins bore the responsibility, that they
said, "Oh, we know what we need to do. We'll go get the oil." But you see, they lost their opportunity because the door was shut. And we may find ourselves with no more opportunity because of the squandering of the opportunities we have now to be ready for the Lord's return. So let's talk about some things we ought to prepare for. If we're going to succeed in anything, we need to prepare ourselves. We ought to prepare for life. Young people, you need to prepare for life. The Bible talks about that in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. You know, youth is an opportunity not only to enjoy and experience life for the first time in so many different ways, but to also anchor yourself with faith so that you're remembering God as you rejoice in being young and enjoy being your youth. Rejoice, O man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. That's the part that youth forget sometimes, not only young, but old as well. He says, young people need to remember that you'll be brought into judgment in how you live. So, be wise. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. They pass away. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in them, till the time when you reach a point where there's no real pleasure even in life. And he goes on to describe that aging to the point of death. Remembering God. If we're going to prepare and be wise in our life, just generally speaking, we have to remember God. But more than just remembering that God is, of course, the point of remembering God is fear Him and keep His commandments, verses 13 and 14 of that chapter, the end of the book. So when we talk about remembering God in our youth, it's that we arrange our life to fear Him and to obey Him. James picks up that theme in James chapter 4, whether young or old, he says, we must prepare to succeed in life, to be faithful and wise servants of God, by depending on God in the decisions we make in our lives. Life decisions. They don't end when you're 25 or 30. They don't end when you're 70 or 75 or 80. We have to make decisions. Well, are we remembering God in those decisions? James 4:13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city. We'll spend a year there. We'll buy and sell and make a profit. That's nothing wrong with that. Good business. But he says, but remember this, whereas you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow when you make a plan to go to the city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So what is your life? When you think in the big pull out 30,000 feet, you know, away from that moment where you say, I'm going to go here, I'm going to do that, and this is going to be the benefit. Pull out a little bit and remember, what is your life? What's the big picture? He says, your life is a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanishes away. So remember the big picture. When you're depending on yourself to do this or that and achieve this benefit. If we'll do that, verse 15 says, so instead then you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. See, depending on the Lord in the decision-making process gives us balance, gives us equilibrium, and keeps our priorities where they ought to be. But now you boast in your arrogance. See, they had lost their perspective. They had lost their balance. All such boasting is evil. They had forgotten God in the equation. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. We might even postulate, speculate a bit about the foolish virgins. They didn't prepare. Did they sin in that? Well, they didn't prepare. And they, because of their lack of preparation, they didn't receive the eternal blessings. Now, can we draw the conclusion? Redeem the time? If I don't redeem my time, am I sinning? Sounds like I am. Ephesians 5, I'm not obeying the Lord. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. I mean, there's a commandment. Redeem the time. The days are evil.
Walk carefully. If I don't do that, I'm sinning. I know it's right to do, but I don't do it. It's sin. Depend on God as you prepare to live your life and as you make the decisions of your life. We've got to depend on God. In a world that does not depend on God, in a world that has forgotten God, we must maintain that equilibrium of faith that trusts God and relies on Him in making the decisions we make in our lives. Thirdly, we need to learn and grow. Are we in the learning mode or are we in the telling mode? Are we in the absorbing and increasing in wisdom? I mean, the Proverbs teach us about growing in wisdom. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are we still fearing God so we can grow in wisdom? Or have we reached a plateau where now everybody just ought to listen to my wisdom? Now I'm the wisdom teller, not the wisdom gainer. Well, hopefully it's a little of both. I mean, we ought to be able to give some wise advice and counsel. God wants us to do that, but not shut off the fact that we can always grow in wisdom and understanding. To grow in kindness, goodness, all of those aspects. Part of preparing and equipping ourselves for life is maintaining that recognition that we are stewards of all the blessings that we have, and that being stewards, we then are to equip ourselves with those opportunities, with the blessings God gives us in life, use them as He directs us to, and it's going to bear fruit to honor Him and to benefit us, to help us, to bless us. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 through 20 talks about this life in this general way. He says, here's what I've seen. Now, here's the wise man Solomon. I've seen this, he said. It's good and fitting that one eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor, in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. God says there's nothing wrong with reaping the benefit of honest labor. That's your portion. That's a good thing. That's from God. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him the power to eat of it and to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Now again, this is when we remember God, that it's God's gift, the benefit of the labor, then we don't forget God in the use of those. You see that man who was tearing down his barns and building bigger? Did he have any thought of taking some of that he had been blessed with and helping somebody else? There wasn't any thought of that at all. He was just going to amass it for himself. So, wisdom here in preparing and learning to grow in life, he says, is important. For verse 20. Now here he's talking about this man whose portion is the labor, benefit from the fruit of his labor. This is a gift from God, and enjoy that. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. So he says, give your heart to doing what brings you joy and gives you labor and brings the benefit of that. That's from God. And blessed is the person who is able to find that place in life and live that way, learning and growing and experiencing those blessings, preparing for life so that we live in godly relationships in life. You see, in Ephesians 5, 22 through chapter 6 and verse 9 speaks to a variety of the relationships of life. And all of them, it comes right on the heels of redeeming our time.
Wives, be subject to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Parents, nurture your children. Bondservants, slaves, obey your masters. Masters, you treat your servants honestly and fairly. Every relationship of life, if we are preparing ourselves to live life by remembering God and depending on Him and taking the opportunities of rejoicing in what our labor is and also learning and growing from it, then we can live in the relationships that God has arranged for us in this life to honor Him and to bless us. It's a blessing from God. And so prepare yourself. Be wise. Don't be foolish about life. Now, let's get a little more specific. The wisdom to prepare to serve God. Matthew 28 and verse 20. The Great Commission, go and teach, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, or the end of the world. So, we ought to prepare ourselves to be a faithful disciple of Jesus by continuing in, learning from, living the teaching of the apostles of Jesus Christ. So, if we want to succeed, then we've got to commit ourselves to some things that will help accomplish that. We've got to prepare ourselves to be faithful servants of God. One thing we need to do is we need to be diligent students of God's Word. It is simply is foolish to think that we can faithfully serve God if we are unfamiliar with God's instructions to us on how to faithfully serve Him. That just naturally follows. That's just a simple point that is easily grasped and yet so often overlooked, because you see, we begin thinking that God will accept anything that we want to give Him. We talked about that some, in our adult class this morning. But look at 2 Timothy 2:15 to illustrate the point. He says, be diligent. Old King James says, study. The word is diligence. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. You want to be approved to God? It's going to take diligence. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, handling God's word properly, correctly. That takes effort. That takes diligence. That takes the preparation of being a diligent, faithful student of God's word. And if we don't make that time in our lives, how can we say we prepared to be approved? How can we say that we are prepared to handle His Word properly unless we give diligence to that, to learning, teaching them to observe all things? Well, that's why we have Bible studies together and why we should have Bible study privately. And study to help us learn how to use the Bible and then use the Bible in our lives. Preparing to serve God. We've got to be diligent students and we need to be devoted teachers. Now, he said that to Timothy, but of course parents need to be devoted teachers. If you're teaching a Bible class here, you need to be a devoted teacher. If you're teaching somebody else the Bible, you need to be a devoted teacher. Paul told Timothy, as a preacher, you be a devoted teacher, Timothy, first of all, by setting an example. And then you give yourself, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. Don't neglect the gift that's in you. Meditate on these things, verse 15 of chapter 4, 1 Timothy. Give yourself entirely to them. Devotion, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and the doctrine and continue in them. You know, you want to prepare to serve God, then learn His Word and then live His Word, and then you're equipped to teach His Word. And he's teaching Timothy that very thing so that he can then teach others. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let's prepare ourselves. Let's equip ourselves. By the way, if we want to prepare to learn and benefit from Bible classes, it'd probably be a good idea to study some ahead of time. Be prepared for class when we get here. Right? How am I going to really benefit? Oh, I already know all that. Do you know all of it? Boy, go to the head of the line if you know it all. Let me have some of that juice. I'll drink that too. Really. If we want to be diligent students, then let's be diligent students. If we want to believe 2 Timothy 2:15, let's do it. And let's be equipped to then be a learner and be a teacher. Both, they're not at odds with each other. They go hand in hand. Because then we can be a dedicated worker for the Lord. Laboring. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers into His harvest. If I have not diligently learned God's Word, I'm not going to be a dedicated worker. How can I be? How can I help in that to help save a soul? If I haven't equipped myself with God's Word, that is God's power to save. God's power to save is not me. It's not my persuasive abilities. It's God's Word. Same with every one of us. That's the thing, you know. We think if we could just be there, if we could just say have time, I could save that person. No, it's going to be Jesus that saves the lost. It's not going to be you or me. It's going to be Jesus and His Word. Now, we can help by bringing the right truth to bear upon the situation. But they're going to have to then take their responsibility to believe it and live it. All right? We can prepare ourselves to be faithful servants. The wise and faithful servant back there, Matthew 24, that we read about in verse 44 and 45. Prepare to serve God. Let's give ourselves that task. It's also, let's prepare for death. You know, people prepare for death. They make a will, you know, they decide how they want to distribute their possessions. They may decide where they want to live in the last days of their life, if God grants that. But you know, time and chance happens, and we don't always die when we think we're going to die. You know, it's appointed to men to die once. We're going to have one death. We don't really know when that's going to happen. But we can prepare ourselves spiritually for it. Now, God told Hezekiah from Isaiah the prophet in 2 Kings 20 and verse 1, set your house in order because you're going to die and not live. So Hezekiah had he knew he was about to die. Well, we know we are going to die, we just don't know when. So to get ready for death, obviously we've got to become a Christian. We've got to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, become a servant of righteousness. Obey from the heart the doctrine, the gospel that's been delivered to us, Romans 6, 16 through 18. If we don't become Christians, we're not ready to die. If we're lost in our sin, we're simply not ready. We're the fool of those foolish virgins. We didn't prepare, and we lose out on eternal life. It could be that as a Christian, though, I need to prepare for death by repenting of present sin. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. His promise is He's going to bring a judgment. There's going to be a day of judgment. So it says, God's not slack, but He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So God God says there's going to be a day I'm going to return. The day the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. That is, unexpectedly, without warning, are we going to be ready? That's the message of the parable. Watch, because in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man is coming. We knew when the thief was coming, we'd stay and we'd guard the house and prevent him from breaking in. Jesus said that too. We know that. But we don't know when the Lord's coming. We don't know when we're going to have our last breath on this earth. So the question becomes, what hinders us? You know, this gets back to some of the things we studied this morning.
But it reminds me of the Ethiopian. He learned the gospel in that chariot from Philip, and they came to some water, and he said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" Now, he was prepared and ready to get more prepared. He was ready to be baptized. And he sought his opportunity. You know, preparing ourselves spiritually is also about looking for the opportunities to be right with God and to do God's will and to make it about Him. And, you know, on the other hand, Galatians 6:7, Paul was perplexed in some degree. He said, "You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth?" So they were not ready in that state because they were being hindered from obeying the truth. Being ready to die is about being right with God and walking with God. Of course, when we're ready to die, then we're also ready for judgment. Because the Bible says after death comes judgment. So we need to prepare to die. If we're not prepared to die, we're not ready to live for Jesus. But when we do that, then we're ready for judgment. Amos told Israel, "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel," in Amos 4:12. But his point there was, you better get ready for condemnation, for punishment, because they would not repent. They refused to serve God faithfully. And so now judgment was coming. Assyria was going to swoop down on Samaria and destroy them. God's righteousness is going to roll down like a river upon them and punish them for their sin. They weren't ready for judgment because they were not repentant before God. Jesus said we need to watch and pray. And this goes back to the theme of the parable and in the parallel account. In Luke's recording of this, Luke 21, he picks up in that context of the judgment against Jerusalem and the principles of judgment. And in Luke 21:33, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly." The day you're talking about is the day of judgment, day of punishment. "For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. The earth is not ready for the Lord's return of judgment. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." Notice that you will have the strength to escape. Worthy to stand, footnote is, be able to have the strength to stand. How are we going to have the strength to stand in the day of judgment? Well, by avoiding sin, by watching and praying, by being vigilant and faithful servants of God. Faithful living. I mean, the Bible connects that to the day of judgment in Romans 2 and at many other places. Is that we prepare for judgment by repenting, by getting right with God, and by living consistent with the hope of heaven, laying up treasures there rather than on the earth. Faithful living. If we're not being faithful to the Lord, we need to repent and make that right and start being faithful. So be saved in Christ, be faithful to Him, be growing and maturing and looking unto Jesus every day of our lives. So, we go back to the conclusion here in Matthew 25, verses 11 and 12. "Afterward, the other virgins came, and they said, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' He answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" I don't know you. "Oh, but Lord, we came. Oh, but Lord, we were watching for you. Oh, Lord, be gracious and let us in." Fact is, it had become too late. You see, don't wait too long. Because there'll come a time, there'll be a moment. There'll be no more opportunity. Death ends that opportunity. Our opportunity is now. Prepare yourself today to meet the Lord so that you're ready every day.
What a sad thing to miss out of out on heaven because you're unprepared. It's a sad part of that tale. We see the joy of those who entered, but it's a sad parable to see those who could have been ready, should have been ready, wanted to be ready, wanted to go into the wedding feast, but were unprepared and lost the blessing forever. Watch therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Don't wait too long, or it may be too late. Now's the day of salvation. If you need to respond to God's call
to become a Christian or to be faithful, to repent of sin, then we urge you to respond to that call. That's God's call,
His invitation. We're here to help you accomplish that obedient, faithful service to Him and receive from God His cleansing, to be baptized into Christ or to pray together, seeking His merciful forgiveness, which is always available to us as His children when we repent. Won't you come while we stand and sing?